Go ahead and turn to Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. We are taking a quick break from our series in the Gospel of Matthew to enjoy commissioning another church today. In the first service during meet and greet, one of our members says, "Today must be official because you're wearing a button-down shirt, slacks, and it's tucked in." And I'm like, I didn't know that was the thing, but apparently maybe it is. I also heard that breath mints are back and more necessary than ever because no more masks, all right? So be kind to one another as you're greeting one another. You are loved. All right, on to more serious things, okay? Title of the sermon today is Commissioning Family Church! Praise God, right? So excited, so thankful for what God is doing. On April 10th, Family Church launches, Lord willing. That is Palm Sunday, and then the following Sunday, as you might imagine, is Easter. And so thankful for what God is doing. And I have the joy today of sharing with you one major way that Jesus is building his church, and that major way is he's starting a new one, all right? How awesome is that? And so all of us have this message in our ears all the time, like the church is dwindling and the world is getting darker and darker, and then we as a church family get to celebrate. Churches are being planted and people are coming to Jesus and disciples are being made, and that's what we see. And so we get to come together on Sunday mornings and see what Jesus is up to and be refreshed by that and enlivened by that, which encourages our faith in so many ways. So what we're going to do this morning is look at these two verses, and then I'm going to welcome up Adam and Jade, and then we're going to pray over them and their team after that. So be thinking and listening during the service about how you can be praying. And maybe you'd be one that would pray out loud here in a moment after toward the end of this service, how you would be praying for them and for their team. So here's the big idea I want to give you today. Give glory to Jesus, who is expanding his kingdom with a new church. Our year theme is your kingdom come. It's kingdom come. And what does that mean? And what does that mean for us in our lives as Jesus takes over, so to speak, as our Lord and our Savior? And then kingdom come in this world. Well, by all means, him planting another church is his kingdom coming. So give glory to Jesus, who is expanding his kingdom with a new church. Okay, so in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, when we jump into a book like this and haven't been in it, I want to give you context a little bit. It's a great doxology, and doxology means the study of glory, right? The glory of God. So doxology means glory to God. And it's right in the middle of the book of Ephesians, this letter. We went through it several years ago as our church. And the first half of Ephesians is all theology. It's what to believe about God, about Jesus, about redemption, about forgiveness. So if you're here today and you have lots of questions about that, read the first three chapters of Ephesians. So many answers there from the Word of God for us. And then the second half of Ephesians is what to do with what we believe. It gets super practical. So it's not like just believe these things and go through life believing things. It's let what you believe change your life, right? So Paul, as he's writing this letter inspired by the Holy Spirit, gets to the end of chapter 3, the theology, and he just gives this doxology. Like, glory to God, glory to God. He can't wait until the end of Ephesians to do that. He's like, this is who God is. This is what God's done. Glory to God now. And then he transitions into practical. And that is exactly where Family Church is right now. They're equipped. They love the Lord Jesus with all their hearts and souls and minds and strength. And now it's about to really get going because they're about to plant the church. Adam and Jade have been equipping this team for a year and a half. And here they are about to go and serve and live their faith out for other people and welcome people into the kingdom of God through discipleship ministry and sharing the good news of Jesus. So it's a great text for glory to God. It's a great text for where they are, and it's a great reminder this morning that this isn't about Adam and Jade, this isn't about Family Church, this isn't about Harvest Raleigh Church, this is glory to who? God. It's glory to God, and I want all of us to feel that, to really know that, to really understand that. This is a humbling thing, like Jesus is planting a church. He saves souls, and then he entrusts to pastors and elders souls so that they can watch over them under Jesus's chief shepherding ministry so that they can watch over them until he determines it's time for them to go home to heaven. That's it. And so he's starting a new church where leaders and people will do that on his behalf as he leads them. So Adam and Jade are in this moment where they are really excited and their eyebrows are raised. They're like, Jesus, you're doing so much. This is so amazing. And then they're like, what if this happens? What if that doesn't happen? And then the next 3 minutes later, they're like, Jesus is awesome. He's enthroned. He's got everything. And then it's like, Lord Jesus, you got to do this right now because I'm super nervous and insecure, right? I felt that. They feel that. And so it's just ministering to us, to them, to look at this passage about the power of Jesus, the glory to Jesus, not ourselves, and have that kind of set a tone as they go out today. So glory to God, glory to God. So here's, I want to give you three things to him. To who? To him, to God, to Jesus, who is able. So here's verse 20, the first part. To him who is able is point one. To him who is able. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. That is quite a phrase, right? God, as our creator, has given each of us human beings amazing imaginations. We can think things up, dream things up, figure out how to create them. We can take minerals from the earth and turn them into cool gadgets. And he's saying that our imaginations are blown away by what Jesus can do. Do y'all see that? To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Like you can't dream up what Jesus can do. Amen? Do y'all believe that this morning? Like I know you're going through some stuff. Do you believe that? He can do abundantly more than all that you can ask or think. Do you believe that? To him who is able, right? This is a prayer, right? It's like I wrote down, it's a toast and a charge the hill, but then I wrote down a toast, and this would be like, this is not a toast, like this way more than that. Like glory to him who is able. And it's a charge the hill about who Jesus is and what he can do. So it's a prayer of praise to God who is able, having done glorious things. And then it's a prayer of faith to God who is able to do glorious things. You see that? It's both. It's right here in the middle of Ephesians for us to see. So a little background about this church in Ephesus, all right? They're planted, they're established, they're looking back, and they got started through the discipleship ministry of Barnabas and Paul. They come, they hear there's some believers there, they disciple them for a while, and then Paul's training up this pastor named Timothy, and Timothy gets installed as the pastor of this church, and he's appointing elders. That's what 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are about. And so there's this discipleship ministry that's growing. People are coming to faith. People are growing in who they are in Jesus Christ, all through this church planting ministry, all in this really dark, messed up city of Ephesus. And now this letter is getting written to them to encourage them to look back at what God has done to him who is able, and then to look forward, because they're like, this is hard. Living here on this earth in these dark places is hard. Hold fast to Jesus is what Paul is saying. To him who is able, he's still able to do far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. And so that placement of that text is their context. And what is it for us? What is it for you? To him who is able, what he's done, what he can do. They'd seen in Ephesus God literally divert the economic force of their city away from worshiping idols. You see that in the book of Acts. The light of the gospel was spreading and it was occurring through the church. The people of God, people being converted to Jesus and no longer buying that stuff and no longer going these places. And so the people that were selling idols that people would worship were like losing business because Christians now worship Jesus, not their idols, so they weren't buying them. It changed the economic situation in Ephesus. I mean, what Jesus can do is unbelievable to us. It's beyond anything that we would ever ask or could ever ask or think. So with our sights on what God has done, we can be eager about what God will do. And in developing another church, God has done more than we could ever ask or think. He's done more than we could ever ask or think. So how? All right, regarding family church, right? He's given us fellowship with new brothers and sisters in Christ. He's given us further equipping as he's exalted himself, as Jesus has exalted himself through Adam's preaching, which is excellent, and he's helped us through great passages to be able to be encouraged through the Word of God. And he's wonderfully added to the number of Family Church and their core group through with great, great people, some of whom are here today. Jesus is answering prayers. He's doing amazing things. He's giving quality disciples of Jesus to a core group that's about to launch a church. And it's such a gift. It's from him. And we got to understand that. He is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. And he's doing it and he's done it. And we look back at that and we praise him. All right. So another question is what recent prayers have been answered? So super recently, they've been praying for a location to launch, and they had the location in mind, and then they needed a custodian. And the reason for that is there has to be a custodian that works at the school who can open and close the building, do all the alarm stuff, and then be there for the entirety of the time that the church is there. And when you're doing setup and teardown at a church, that's like 5 hours. So you're asking a custodian to leave his family on Sunday morning when he's worked Monday through Friday to come on Sunday morning for 5 hours and open and close a building and kind of help out. That's a big prayer. That's a prayer of a church planter. Lord, give us a custodian at the school where we meet. And the Lord provided that. And this custodian has worked Sunday mornings for in this place with other churches that have been there, and he totally gets it. He already gets it. What an answer to prayer that is, right? Lord, give us a custodian. And he gives them a custodian, one that already understands it. And Adam gets that from having done ministry in schools, doing church in schools for years, all right? Next, Adam told me 2 weeks ago that in the prior weeks, the Lord has provided $13,000 to $15,000 of free equipment from various churches, including us, Bridge Fellowship Church, and Northwest Church, where they were previously prior to here. And then, you know, in the lobby before the first service, you know, Adam's like, dude, I got to tell you this story, right? And there's more, and he'll probably tell it in a minute. If he forgets to tell you about how else God has provided, just yell at him while he's up here in just a minute, and he'll tell you that story, okay? Just yell nicely. We love him. Okay, and then next, we set our faith on what Jesus is about to do as Family Church launches. All right, what's he about to do? What does Jesus do? What is Jesus in the business of doing? He saves people. Right? Literally, he offers his gospel through the preaching of his word and the love of his people. People accept it, and eternities are changed. Jesus does that. He takes people who are slumbering Christians, flatlined in their faith, and he awakens them to the good news of Jesus, and he turns them into disciples who are servant leading in the church. It's what he's done in our church over and over and over. He's saving people. He's awakening people. He's discipling believers to become servant leaders in the church. That's what he's doing, and it's what we want to pray will continue to be happening. Y'all, there are people in Apex that are lost. There are people in Apex that don't have a church home. You realize how many people have been away from church because of COVID, and they used COVID as like a, see ya, I've just got a new Sunday morning routine. Then a new church gets launched, and it's fresh, and it's something that maybe they have never experienced, the love that's going to come from Family Church, the way the gospel is preached, and they're going to come, and they're going to come back to church, all of that, abundantly more than we could ever ask or think, all right? Next steps for Family Church after launch are establishing core ministries this next year on Sunday mornings, and then getting their city groups, aka small groups, getting those going. So that's how you can be praying for them this year. To him who is able. All right, next. To him working within us. To him working within us from 20, the second part, 20b. All right, so we just saw to him who is able. Like Jesus, strong, enthroned, able to do anything. He did all these things in this ancient city of Ephesus. He's doing things now in the core group. Now it gets really personal. To him who is able, as verse 20 verse B says, according to the power at work within us. According to the power at work within us. That is an exciting phrase. The Bible here uses this word power. It's like synonymous with dynamite, like not explosion, you're obliterated, but explosion, you have power within you to do work for the glory of God. So it begs the question, is his power working within you? Do you feel that? Do you know it is? Is his power working within you? And then what does his power working within you mean? Like, how do you know his power is working within you? It means that what you believe about him is taking root in your life. It's not just up here. I know some things about Jesus and about the Bible. It's like taking root. It's changing your character. It's changing your decisions. It's changing what you're about. It's changing everything in your life. It's changing your conversations. It's changing your future. It's changing your hope. All of those things is what the Lord does when he's powerfully working within you. It means he's changing you. It means also that Jesus is ministering powerfully through you to others in the church and others outside the church. Jesus is powerfully working within you. So the question is he in you? Do you feel his working in you? And if not, why? Like, why are you flatlined? It's two answers. One is you're not saved and you don't have the power of him within you yet. So if you're unsaved, you confess your sin before the Lord, you confess that he's Savior, and you're saved. He gives you the Spirit of God, which gives you that power. You're gifted by him. He changes how you think, and you start working. The one reason is you're unsaved. The second is you're just not getting it, right? Like, Jesus has changed your life, and he's made you about eternal things and his kingdom now so that his kingdom would come. And he wants to enliven you to that so that you can serve, so that you're not just a bleacher Christian sitting on the side, but you get involved in ministry and you use the muscle that God is giving you to make an impact in this world for the glory of God, to his power, to his glory and the work that he's doing within you, power within you. Do you feel it? Do you know it? All right. So in the fall of 2020, Adam called me and reached out about wanting to plant a church and was asking questions about church planting networks. I know Adam's sister and from seminary and just got connected that way. And on the phone, I'm like, I love this guy. He's full of energy. He's got like that sort of zeal. You can hear it on the phone with this guy. He's got all sorts of questions. He wanted to plant a church yesterday. I'm like, this is probably good, right? Right? And then we got to know each other, and I think so highly of Great Commission Collective, our church planting network, and just commended that to him. So what we did is we got some assessment going through me, through our elders, and eventually sent him to Austin, Texas to do assessment with some other GCC pastors that had an assessment thing already set up. And I did a pastoral mentorship, his pastoral mentorship thing with his degree at Southeastern, and we got going through that. And so we realized very quickly, like right out of the gate, as soon as you meet Adam, he's got great people skills. He's a great communicator of God's word. And we're like, man, this guy can lead. He's got amazing gifts. And then, but there were two things that all the assessors kind of agreed upon, having not gotten together and whispered to each other like, yeah, but what about, right? Things that we'd just seen in him. And those two things were planting too fast, right? Because he wanted to plant yesterday, right? Planting too fast. And he came across arrogant. But we learned he's not arrogant. He just came across that way. And so both of those were blind spots for him. He had this zeal, right? Like, let's plant the church like yesterday. We need people to be saved and disciple people, right? And that, you're like, that zeal's good. But you got to learn like pace and rest. Like, I still got to learn that, man. So we'll just be in it together and encourage each other, right? Right? And then the other was he came across was arrogant. So the solutions for Adam were slow down and soak. Slow down in planting and then soak in our church and with our elders and with our staff and just learn, right? And it was a tough meeting at Panera, right? We're just talking. All of our meetings were like an hour and a half. We're thinking it'll just be an hour, then we just keep talking, right? So at the end, it's like Adam told me this between services. He's like, here's some detail. Here's how he remembers it. Like, we're done with the meeting. And I'm like, hey, bud, he thought we were done with the meeting. I had to deliver this. And he remembers feeling that in that moment. Like, you got to slow down. We think you got to slow down and just soak for these reasons. And I remember, praying like a ton before that meeting. And then Adam's like, let me take a couple days, pray about it, get with Jade, get with our team, and then we'll talk. So then it was this FaceTime call. Y'all, I'm praying all morning. I remember leaning against the love seat in our living room, praying. Like, I can't even stand. I'm nervous about what Adam's going to say, right? Like, how's he going to take this? How's he going to take it? And so we're on the FaceTime call, and Adam's like, listen, man, we're all in. Like, if that's what you guys think we need to do, then we're in. And he took it. And he talked about how he went to the core team and they thought it was a great idea too. He's like, well, they were like, yeah, let's slow down. Okay, right? Do y'all remember it that way? Do y'all remember it that way? So I remember in that moment, like, he's willing to learn. He's ready to go, but he's willing to go at the pace that others have observed is necessary. And so he's got that leadership, but he's also willing to place himself under the leadership of others. And that's a really important quality for a leader. And he has it. And Adam, it's really, really cool to see God powerfully working within you. And Jade, I know you're like Mrs. Details, and then church planting details do not materialize quickly. And so to see his power powerfully working within you, it's amazing to see how y'all have grown and how he's grown your core team through that as well, grown in the faith sense especially. So Jesus has been powerfully working within our church family as well. So our elders have seen Adam working, been praying for you, and our staff team has been helping Family Church any way that we can. So like the last month, Terrell has been hanging out with Jade and getting all of our Harvest Kids stuff, anything that they need, to them and just being open-handed. Heather has met with Tibby and Jade about bookkeeping and all of that. Like, here's what we've learned. Just whatever you need, take it. And it's been really cool to partner in that sense and just share some things with them and do ministry together. We're in the same city. What a joy to have this level of fellowship. And then additionally to that, powerfully working within them, Kenny Perry is going to be a provisional elder along with me for Family Church until they appoint their own elders. So Kenny, who's like Mr. Operations, Kenny's in the back. I'm looking at him. I love that guy. He is such a steady believer. He's the chairman of our elder team. And he's like, I just feel led by the Lord to help elder this church. And we're like, praise God, man. And then Courtney and Jade have gotten super tight. Kenny's wife, Courtney Perry, the doctor, right? We've enjoyed that relationship developing. And then Simon and Carol have determined they're just, as they've been praying, they're going to join the launch team. And I'm talking to them for 30 seconds before the service. And Simon's like, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to serve for these first few weeks in kids. They're doing this and this and this. He's like, they're just energetic about it, right? So they need hands. They need help. And people in our church are helping. What a gift. People being powerfully worked within by the Lord to plant a church. What a gift, all right? And then here's the third point this morning. To him be the glory. To him be the glory, all right? To him who is able, to him who's powerfully working within you, right? Is he working within you? And is he working within you in the church, right? Or is he using you in the church, right? Answer those questions. And then last, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. Listen to this. Like, you can hear Paul like yelling as he's writing. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. To him be glory in the church, the people of God, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Y'all, one of the greatest traps in life and one of the greatest traps in ministry is wanting the glory. It's wanting the credit. It's wanting a title or wanting the attention or wanting the success for ourselves. But this verse says, glory to whom? To Jesus, to him, to God. And think about Paul. He's writing to this church. Like, God's done so much within you, church at Ephesus. To him be the glory. God's done so much within you, Family Church. To him be the glory. God's doing so much within us, Harvest Raleigh Church. To him be the glory. To him be the glory. And it's not just right now. Like, we think in the here and now, we're such immediate people, human beings. Like, what do I need right now? Like, oh, I'm hungry. Gotta get some. Right? So immediate. How long is ministry? How long do we want him to get the glory? It says, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. The type of kids ministry that they're going to do, that we do, is for all generations. Like, we're discipling kids now to grow up and be adults who will disciple kids and grow up to be adults and disciple kids for all generations. And then it says, forever and ever. Y'all, that's a long time. Forever and ever. Right? When you come to Christ, life now is eternal. Our perspective now is eternal. What we do in the church is eternal. You're giving the gospel to other people. You're teaching the word. You're loving people. You're embracing people. You're greeting people. You're praying for people. That's eternal work. Forever and ever stuff from one generation to the next. Like, our goal as Christians is like just aiming people to Jesus. And that's what this is. To him be the glory, not to us, to him. It's like, let's get low and stay quiet and do everything we can to the glory of the Lord. Just do great, impactful ministry for the long term. That's what church planting is. It's not like, man, let's have a great launch on April 10th. It's like, let's be an awesome church for decades in Apex and Holly Springs and Pittsburgh for the glory of God, for the glory of God, right? To him be the glory. Y'all, the church is Jesus's people. I know y'all know this, but the church is Jesus's people. It's not a place. It's not a building. It's not a time. It's his people. And that people can move, you know, wherever, right? That's the church. That's who Jesus loves. And the church is a people. And the reason that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church is because the church is secured by Jesus himself, who bought us with his blood, was raised from the dead, and then sealed us by the Holy Spirit. That's the church, the actual real people of God. And that's the type of people that Family Church is trying to reach through the glory of God and the good of others. So, church, give glory to Jesus, who is expanding his kingdom with a new church. Amen? Amen. So let's welcome up Adam and Jade. Y'all put your hands together for these two. So thankful for them. So thankful for them. All right. So I have some questions for Adam, and we prepared a little bit, and I gave him the options. I shared some of these answers with you already, so I feel like I stole your thunder a little bit. But I gave him options, and, you know, in typical pastor form, I gave him four P's, right? Personal growth, people, provision, or place. And I just said, like, hey, man, be ready to share a story. And then as pastors, we're kind of, you know, winging it a little bit. Like, what story comes to your heart as you're in front of people? So share a story with us, brother.
I will share a story. But first, we didn't do this first service, and Jabe was like, what are you thinking? We need to thank first Harvest, leaders, elders, because Mike had to say a few small things in his sermon, but monumental for us. July 2020, we started coming here for a place to rest. And here we are.
Amen.
The process from assessment to today and what God has done in my heart, monumental. How he's grown me, how he's grown my faith. I know how he's grown Jade and how he's grown her faith. Yeah. And so I just want you guys to hear too, your leadership here, incredible. So just be very thankful that you've got an elder team and a staff team that is so passionate about Jesus and about his church, that they were willing to give a lot of time and energy to helping us. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. So yeah, you guys know what it is to like dream, right? What it is to dream about something. Like, man, it'd be awesome. You guys ever had like a Holy Spirit infused dream? And then you're like a month away from it coming true. It's a really incredible feeling when it's the Holy Spirit saying, here's the dream. Here it comes. And it's coming true. And it's a pretty incredible thing. So I want to share, I wasn't like this first service, but I want to share, I think I was still too tired. but I want to share, he mentioned the four P's, and he spoke to the growth and he spoke to the place. And in December, we started putting in front of our people, we're really feeling like the Lord is starting to change things and move us in the direction of launch. So here's what we need to pray for. We need to pray for, I didn't do the three P's because I'm not Baptist or whatever. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Baptists are
It works, man. Alliteration helps.
I got a master's from a Baptist seminary. All right. So we're praying for people, we're praying for a place, and we're praying for money. Okay.
Right.
Anyway, so from December to January, the Lord just started giving us people. And it wasn't like we were going out banging down doors. It was people approaching us and saying, hey, we've heard. We'd love to hear more about it and be a part of it. And so, literally, the Lord was providing people for us. And we doubled our core team size in a month. So it's like, okay, I think God's moving. And then you talk about the provision. And, what we need to pray for things, right? We need the financial means to make a launch happen. And so I just want to share, this is like in the mode of encouragement for you guys, but also like to prove God faithful and like confirmation of what we're doing. So the first thing that we started doing was creating a budget, right? So what do we need? Okay, well, let's start researching a soundboard. We know we need a soundboard. We know we can get that out of the way regardless of the space that we're in. We need a soundboard. So I text Charles, and I'm like, hey, man, I know you guys upgraded. What are you doing with the old one? Can we buy it off you guys used? He's like, let me check. A few days later, he's like, hey, we're going to give it to you and all of this other stuff as well. You can have it. Blessings, you know. So holy smokes.
Like, blessings.
We wanted to buy it. And, you know, the Lord's going, no, we're gonna bless you in this. Yeah, and then and then reached out to previous church. Hey, I know you guys are in a different location. Do you have any kids gear? We need panels. We need rugs. Like, do you have anything left over? As a matter of fact, we do. We have panels. We have rugs. And so I'm out there checking out the panels and rugs. And in the meantime, we're researching pipe and drape because you have to have that as a church plant, even though it should all be burned. In a bonfire. Like, globally, it should all be burned.
It's great, man.
But we're praying for that. So we get to this church, and the trailers are open, and the guy who's helping me kind of count the panels and rugs, he said, hey, by the way, do you guys need any pipe and drape? And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, yes, we need pipe and drape. He said, well, we got two carts full, like 31 panels, and let me just check with the pastors, but I'm pretty sure you can have this pipe and drape. So we're praying for that, looking at the financial side of it, and God's like, no, here's some pipe and drape, right? And then we start praying for other big things. And I'm like, okay, well, we need a trailer. And so we're researching a trailer, and we're looking at the financial side of it. And we're like, man, it's going to cost this much money. And some trailers fell through. And then I'm at Panera one day, and I'm just having coffee and doing the church planter thing, which probably was like getting lost on YouTube. I'm just kidding. doing the church planter thing, right? Like, I'm trying to crank it out. But another pastor comes up to me. And who's at Panera at the same time, and he says, hey, like, you guys are coming towards lunch. How's it going? It's okay. I'm tired. He says, what do you need? I said, well, honestly, right now, we're looking for a trailer. He's like, a trailer? I think I got a trailer for you. So he calls me later, and he's like, I'm telling you, man, why am I crying about a trailer? I'm crying because of God providing and showing up. He's like, hey, you can have our 20-foot trailer, okay? You can have it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So let's start praying for a truck, okay? But listen.
A truck to tow the trailer.
Yeah, listen.
And a driver.
By the way, we do have one of our members that came up to me last week, and he said, hey, I have a truck, but we can't expect someone to drive every single week, you know, with this truck. And so we've got a truck and a driver, but we would like to have more means to get the trailer to the church, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So we're praying for that, and we're researching, hey, how can we get our hands on a truck that can pull a 20-foot trailer? And you know, I'm talking to my brother like a few weeks ago, and I just asking him about a direct box. Like, hey, man, I need a direct box. What should I get? And he's like, I got some. You can have them. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then we're at Guitar Center, and I'm like, I need a stage rack. And he's like, I got a stage rack. Here you go. And, like, it's like I'm telling people what we need, and they're like, we've got it, right? Like, and God is just providing in ways that are just, I mean, $25,000 worth of equipment that's just been God going, here you go.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I just hopefully encourage you. Yeah, man, for real. Like, amen. Clap for the Lord. But, like, the way he provides, what has he done?
Yeah.
And I'm just going, man, what else is he going to do?
Yeah. Right,
so, yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
So we'll pray for another truck, another driver, and we'll pray for a vacation for these guys soon. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord, man. Okay, so that's amazing. So what we want to do now is have some of our elders and wives come on up, and we're going to pray over y'all. So, and then what we're going to do, church, is have them I'd love it if you two would introduce the core team that's here. And if the core team would kind of come stand up here, we'll do that in just a minute. Just their names. And then we're going to have Adam and Jade and their core team stand in the middle, and then we as a church are going to get around them and pray. And just a little secret, first service, this went, we just kept praying, which was awesome. Then I go in the back, check on kids ministry, and they're like, what happened, right? We had to add like 30 minutes of material, right? So dude, we're just going to pray, and I'll take the hit, all right? We're just going to pray, all right? So love you guys, and Kenny, our elder chairman, is going to speak some words to you guys as we, why don't y'all step a little closer up there. There you go. And then we'll pray.
Adam Kink, we Harvest Raleigh church elders humbly affirm Jesus Christ's appointing of you as pastor of Family Church. We are confident in your conversion, your calling, your character, and your competency. Remain a good servant of Jesus, training in good works and prayer and godliness. Set an example in love, speech, faith, conduct, and purity. Fan into flame the gifts Jesus has given you. Joyfully watch over the souls of the flock. do the work of an evangelist, rest in God's approval of you in Christ.
Amen.
As 1 Timothy 4:15 says, persist in these and you will save both yourself and others.
Amen.
So let's join around. I'll open in prayer. Father God, what a great occasion for celebration today. Lord, I'm excited to see all these faces in here that are here to support Adam and worship you, and thankful for the time we had today to fellowship with each other and just and celebrate this amazing occasion of almost 2 years since Adam and Jade first came to our church, and the way that you have been moving in their lives and the lives of their people. God, we give you all the praise and glory. And now, Lord, as they are about to depart from our church to launch Family Church, God, we just pray for abundant blessing. We thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, I pray now in advance for all those cars that go down Olive Chapel Road and Kelly Road, God, that they would see Family Church and decide to pull in and decide to come. And Lord, I know that your gospel will be preached, and I pray that it will go forth. And Lord, that you would change hearts and minds and bring people into your fold, Lord. God, I pray for Adam and the leadership at Family Church, Father, that they would humbly come under you and lead the church as you would have them. God, we pray for souls saved. We pray for slumbering Christians to come and be awakened. We pray for new families to the area to come. We pray that they'll be loved, and we just pray for great fruitfulness, Lord, and your blessing and your protection over Adam and Jade, your protection over the people of Family Church. God, we pray for tremendous unity and protection of that unity among the people of Family Church, Lord, and we entrust these things to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we give you great glory, and as we celebrate this today and send Family Church out, Lord, we praise you, and we say openly, we believe you are who you say you are. We believe in the Holy Scriptures that you give us. We believe and we worship you for the generations of faithfulness that we see in your story of creation, of redemption. Lord, we are amazed at your might and your power and your glory and your patience and your kindness and your goodness. We were all lost and hopeless in need of a Savior, and in your faithfulness, you provided your Son, Jesus. Lord, you saved us from our sin. You promise us eternal life, and you give us the opportunity to participate in the work of reconciliation, the work of sharing your gospel, sharing your good news, speaking truth about who you are and who we are and everyone's need for you. Lord, the great power that you exhibited when you created the entire world, when you gave us life, when you rose your Son from the dead, that same power is at work right now. We trust in it. We believe it. And we are so humbled and excited and enamored to be a part of it. Lord, that is the power that is going ahead and that will be at a new church in Apex. Lord, there is a place in the coming weeks to where that power will be at work on Sunday as your church worships corporately. The preaching of your word will go forth. Your Spirit will be at work, and we seek to work and be obedient. Family Church seeks to be obedient, Lord, just to steward this opportunity to be faithful to your calling. But Lord, we are so excited. We have great confidence in the work that you will do. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And God, we just pray for great ministry fruit in this new place. And we look forward to seeing even more of what you will do.
Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for Family Church and the launching of a new church, God, and that we, Harvest, get to be a part of that, something that you are doing by your power and for your glory. And God, I pray for Adam and for Jade. God, I pray for their marriage. I pray as they embark on this joyful burden I know it sounds like odd words to pair together, but that is ministry. It is so joyful and so rewarding, but it is hard. And so, God, I pray over them, God, that you would unite them in a way only that you can. God, that they would be in sync with one another. God, that they would be honest with one another, transparent. God, I pray specifically for Jade. God, that you would bring women around her that will love her and care for her. God, that will encourage her. And, Lord, that she can be transparent with. And, God, that she can pray with and share all things with, God. I pray, God, as they, the beginnings are the timing of things. I think of, it's not a 9-to-5 job, especially early on. And, God, I pray that they would, you give them discernment on what needs to happen immediately, what needs to wait till the morning. God, and that wouldn't be in any way a wedge in their marriage, God, but that they would be honest about workload and when they feel tired or when they feel encouraged, God, but that they would be constantly honest with one another, God. I thank you so much for them, and I pray blessings over them. I pray blessings over their marriage. God, I pray for their children, that this would be a joy for them as well, that they would see the love of Christ and they would see the love of the church, and that family church would love this family well, that they would love their children well, that they would pour into them, God, and that they would be encouraged, Father, and that they would grow in their walks with the Lord. I pray for those sweet girls, God, that they would love you all the days of their lives. God, that they would be disciples of you and that they would grow strong. So, God, we pray over Jade and we pray over Adam, God, and their family, that you would bless them and that you would keep them and that your face would shine upon them.
Lord, you are so good and so kind and gracious. And, Lord, we just praise you this morning for all that you have done through Jade and Adam and their core team. God, it's such a sweet thing to see how you have provided families and women and men that are walking alongside Jade and Adam to encourage them and just walk with them, and just seeing how you are working and how you are going to continue to work in their lives and the people that will come through the doors of Olive Chapel to minister to. And Lord, we're just excited to see, Lord, how you will draw people, how the lives of these people in the core team will be a genuine, authentic witness of how you're working in their lives and how it will just draw people in to come to this church to listen to teaching that will affect them, will help marriages, will help children, will help the people all around them. And we're just so excited to see your power at work through them and the people of their core team to love on the people in Apex and Holly Springs and Fuquay and Pittsburgh and wherever you will bring them from. Lord, we just know that you will bring people who need truth spoken into their lives and who need care and who need encouragement in their marriage and who need encouragement with teenagers, wayward teenagers, God. We thank you for equipping them in so many ways to just love on the people that will come through their doors, God. We thank you for this beautiful picture of you building your church, and you will continue to do so. And we just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to serve you and to love you and to just be known by you, God. We love you. We thank you for them.
Amen.